Morning, everyone. Really wonderful to see everybody's faces here this morning. It's so good to be here with you. I would like to tell you about my friend, Albert Howes. Albert is the chief sacristan at Epiphany Cathedral in Venice, Florida. Most of you know a sacristan is somebody that works in the back room, you know, helping the priests and the deacons to get ready for Mass. We have sacristans here. Joyce Daly is a sacristan, among many other things that she does. Tony Alessandro, who always comes to the 8:30, he's been a sacristan. Epiphany Cathedral Church is a really big place. Some of the masses have 20 cups, if you could imagine. And there are 7 masses every weekend, and there's 2 masses every day, and there are always 2 sacristans assigned to every mass. But Albert is the big dog. He attends all the liturgy meetings. He's around all the time. And to me, Albert seems to know everything. And Albert has saved my bacon several times, believe me. Albert is an incredibly vital 85 years old. He grew up in Massachusetts. He was an overland truck driver. He drove truck, as we say. He and his wife of over 60 years have had a son and a daughter. Many years ago, while he was driving across country on a whim, Albert went to a Billy Graham crusade. And that night, in a very intentional way, he answered the altar call. And he gave his life to Jesus Christ. And that night, Albert's life began to change. And soon after that, he also attended something called a Life in the Spirit seminar, which is a Catholic thing. Maybe someday some of you could go. And those two events changed Albert's life forever. And since those two events, Albert has never stopped offering himself to the Lord in service. At one point, Albert felt called to become a deacon. Very unfortunately, he was intentionally discouraged in that pursuit. And that circumstance for Albert has been a source of great sadness over many years. He's very regretful of that. But sometime later, Albert actually went to what they call the Blessed Edmund Rice School in Florida, and he acquired a 3-year degree in theology and pastoral ministry. And Albert has actually given talks at the church in RCIA and in adult ed. I have seen my friend endure great pain. Just a few years ago, Albert's son, who was 57 years old, died of liver cancer. And I watched him live that suffering and that loss with this extraordinary faith. Christians have an extraordinary strength. And when we see it, we always know it's a wonder. And Albert knows that he will be with his son again, forever. He lives in that reality. And more recently, Albert's wife has become sick. And so he has to care for her constantly. He's hired a caregiver to take care of her when he has to run to the grocery or run for errands or when he comes to the cathedral to do the work that he does there. And Albert is really articulate. He's very clear in being able to explain that he and his wife both know and understand that their experience of that suffering together is deepening their marital vocation. It is deepening their love for one another. And Albert understands that. I find my friend Albert to be truly inspiring, and I've been humbled by his ministry, and I've been blessed to have him as a friend. Albert has shared with me the profound regret that he feels at not becoming a deacon many years ago, and I've tried to encourage Albert. I don't know if you knew this, but last year the church celebrated the 50th anniversary year of the reinstitution of the diaconate in the church in Vatican II, and there have been a ton of books written about it by bishops and priests, and even the Pope, an edited book by the Pope on deacons, and they're trying to figure us out. The reality is, and you might not know this, But the church all over the world, and particularly in the United States, is being flooded by men and by men and their wives who want to answer the call to the diaconate. And this is a wonderment to the hierarchy, and they're surveying and they're trying to understand what it might mean. You might also know that I know there are at least four men in this church with their wives who are at present actively discerning a call to the diaconate. I wish that you all would join me in praying for them. I pray that they be always encouraged. Anyway, I've tried to encourage Albert. I told Albert that many of the functions that deacons perform, they can be performed by the laity. I also told him that he has been an altar server. He's taught in the church. He's committed himself to Jesus Christ. He's lived his life day after day in service to the church. And that, in fact, his ministry was never suppressed at all, that he has a true ministry. And I reminded him that he shouldn't feel in any sense that his ministry did not come to be. After reading a lot of the books on the diaconate in the last year and a half, I've come to the conclusion that one of the chief roles of the diaconate, the sacramentality of the deacon, is to teach people that they have a ministry, to make people understand that no matter who you are, you have a ministry. And also I realize that anytime any of us encourage another in their ministry, encourage it, try to develop it, our ministry grows. And so I'm telling you right now, I'm affirming what many of you already know, that you have a ministry and that you could be a teacher. You could be a mom. You could be a grandmom, a wife. You could be a student. You could be a mechanic. You could be a truck driver. You could even be a dentist and have a ministry. And if you miss having that ministry, you could miss your whole life. The readings today are very clear. They're beautiful and strung together perfectly. He intends for each of us to go ahead of him and prepare his way. He wants us to make his coming known to the world. And he wants his power to be in us. He will give us his power to do these things. And Albert is very clear with me. He has always known and recognized that the Lord has given him everything that he needed in order to be able to do the things that he has done in his ministry. And so it is for you and me. Each of us here is to become. And each of us here is to be becoming together. I hope that you can understand. Brothers and sisters, though, I have to tell you, if you have never, in a very deep and personal way from your heart, maybe even in public, given your whole life to the Lord, if you've never had the courage to do that, at night, alone in your room, wherever, if you've never made a personal commitment to the Lord to give your whole life to him, then it's very likely that your ministry has not yet begun. If you miss Mass on Sunday, if you don't come here, then you're not feeding your ministry. If you have the ability to go to morning Mass every day and you never come, then you're repressing your own ministry. If you never visit those booths over there to have the Lord change you and make you beyond what you could be on your own, then you're repressing your own ministry. If there's a nagging, gnawing in the back of your mind that's telling you, well, I should sign up for this program or I should read the Bible or whatever, and you don't answer it, then you're standing on top of your own ministry and you're not allowing it to grow. I think also with all ministry that there's often this thing in us that keeps us from wanting to push on. There's something in us sometimes that wants to repress what he wants to do in us. But when we push past that, you know, one of the root words of disciple is discipline. That sometimes we're called to go where we might not necessarily see that we want to go, but if we go, that's when everything starts to happen in our lives. And Thomas Merton, who I know many of you have studied here, in his book on spiritual direction, he says that when you find your ministry, it's not as if it's a drag or some kind of uphill trudge that's just awful. It feels natural for us when we find our ministry. It's vivifying. It feels wonderful, and it creates joy in us when we find our ministry, and we'll see what has been installed in us to use in our ministry. And it's not always easy, but it's always wonderful. It's always fabulous. And so to those of you who have felt that you may have been on the periphery, I'm asking you to please answer the call. You have all the resources here to answer the call. And for those of you who have answered, and I know there are many, then I'm asking you to double down. I'm asking you to recommit yourself constantly to our Lord. Don't you have a sense that the Lord has something more for you? He does. Don't you have a sense that you are to become something, that there's something ahead? There's always something ahead. Don't you have a sense? Haven't we talked about this place as a place where there is something more, that something more is to be born from us as individuals and as a church together, two by two, as a group? You understand? Diane and I have that sense. Back to Albert. So on Monday, I called my friend because I wanted to ask him permission to talk about him behind his back. And we chatted. And in the chatting, he said to me, "Deacon Scott, have you seen the bulletin at Epiphany Cathedral lately?" And I said, "Well, I look at it, Albert, but I haven't looked at it just lately, no. And now I have to digress to teach you something. In the church, for many, many years, there were orders that they called the subdiaconate. There was acolyte, there was lector, there was something called porter. And they were orders. They were suppressed after Vatican II. They really no longer exist, even though we know that there are acolytes, there are altar servers in the church, lay altar servers, there's readers, lectors, that still exists. But the only people who are installed in a mass to be lectors and to be acolytes are those who are on their way to becoming either deacons or priests. Well, Albert told me that if you go on the website for Epiphany and look under June 16th, that something amazing happened for him. The bishop, Frank DeWayne, down there, for some Holy Spirit reason, saw fit to ordain Albert as the Diocese of Venice's very first and probably only ever in all time permanent acolyte. And if we had screens here, I could show you the picture. He's kneeling in front of the bishop at his chair, and he has his hands on the sacred vessels with the bishop. And then there's another photograph there as well, and Albert's standing right beside the bishop, along with seven other men who are going to be ordained to the diaconate next year. And everybody looks really happy. But I have to tell you the truth, and don't you just know, Albert has to be the happiest of all. God does really make dreams come true. He does. All the time, God gives us what we need, and we can never be repressed. There's always enough. I know for Albert, at the age of 85, it's enough. For Diane and I also, I would like you to know that it's been enough. And this place has been for us a dream come true. To see this place grow, to see your faces every Sunday, to see your families, and to see you having ministries that continue to grow has been a dream come true for us. I've been humbled at seeing your ministries we have, and I want you to know that we will always pray for you. We will always remember your families. We will always pray with you on the weekends. And I wish that God would bless all of you, your families, and everyone that you love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.